Yeah.
Oakland Axelon Archives, the highest rated Beast Wars podcast on Apple Podcasts, where we watch every episode of this 90s CG cartoon, Beast Wars. I'm Dude.
I'm James.
And this week we're going to be watching season three, episode three, Cutting Edge, episode 42 overall, aired November 8th, 1998.
Yep, the answer and all that.
And let's see, directed by Steve Sachs, returning a director, 4 of 7 episodes that he directed. He will be returning for 3 episodes during Beast Machines.
Mm-hmm. Man, he's a workhorse.
Yeah. So, I mean, he also, like, most of the directors, they are behind-the-scenes producers or animators, so, all of these guys are working overtime. Speaking of working a lot, this episode was written by Evan Summers, who is the only episode he wrote, but he did write a few episodes for Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Baywatch, and he did an episode of Space Cases. I think we've talked about
it. So he did Voyager again, basically.
And then he's also the subject of a 2005 documentary, which he also wrote and directed, called The Seeker. From IMDb, it's Easy Rider with a quadriplegic at the throttle when a 45-year-old named Evan Summers sets out on a self-reflective odyssey by modified motorcycle seeking answers to the questions of life, which won Best Documentary Feature at the Rome International Film Festival, USA, in 2006. He passed away in 2010. I tried, but I couldn't find a cause, but could have just been complications from said quadriplegics. I looked into, since I had to, went onto his IMDb to find the synopsis for The Seeker, I actually saw, I recently watched one of the episodes, DS9 episodes that he wrote. Basically, the main characters crash on what turns out to be a penal moon, where the inhabitants were sentenced to tribal warfare for eternity, because they refused to stop fighting on their home planet. Every day, nanobots heal and revive them from the dead, to do it all over again.
So, like, Space Valhalla.
Except this is way less glamorous, because they're...
Well, it's a punishment instead of internal glory.
Yeah, also that, they're basically just constantly training for the final battle in this. They're constantly getting... Them and their loved ones are constantly getting killed by a rival tribe. I guess the ultimate difference comes down to one-on-one combat versus, you know, fighting against another tribe.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, that episode, have you watched Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul?
No, I have not.
Okay. Anyone who has, I think it's Jonathan Davis, I believe his name is. He plays Mike Ehrmantraut, who became a major character, like, basically because of the actor. Is actually in that episode from 1994, I think.
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah, anyone who watches either of those shows will recognize him as soon as he comes on camera. But that was way long ago. So if you want to go see him when he's a slightly younger man, go check that out. Anyways, going on to the episode.
Yes.
So this is the Cutting Edge. Hmm? Wait, no, it's not. Not what? Cutting Edge.
No,
it's Changing the Guard.
Changing of the Guard.
Yeah, I think I said the wrong title earlier. but that is the correct date. So, the Maximals are trying to get Teletran 1's shield up so the Predacons will stop blasting holes in the door on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Which Rat Trap says, what do you expect? What are you expecting to do? Ring the doorbell? already we're cartoony.
Yeah, there's a. It shows there's a hole in the front of
and it's not working, so they go to Plan B, Salvage Sentinel, which Rat Trap is nice to point out that the Axelon is at the bottom of the lake and we can't get to it. So he says, "Well, we're gonna need help," which is when he radios Silverbolt, who has been trying to find Depth Charge, but he can't find him.
Yeah, in my notes I wrote a. Good news, they have an underwater specialist. Bad news, he's not a team player.
in some ways, which we'll get to, I put that in my notes. So they pull out a one-man sub.
Plan B to their plan B.
It's actually the sub that we see from the credits, and the one we alluded to in season one, that Ratchet had a model of this sitting on his desk.
Yeah.
Which, they probably just used the same model as that. That was just, probably just supposed to be a paperweight. You probably just...
Yeah, I... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I assume with CGI technology, particularly at this time, like, hey, if you can reuse a prop, why not?
Yeah. Well, that's probably why they reused Depth Charge's flight mode for his ship.
Mm-hmm.
So, this we should note that this sub was seemingly designed and built by Black Arachnia.
Yeah, they're bringing back that where she had... They're kind of keeping that, where she's kind of a scientist of her own, since, you know, she made her own, like, stasis pod that, you know, like, floating stasis pod. She made a couple, like, devices in, like, season one. Yeah. That's actually kind of cool. Like, you don't really get, like, you know, like, lady scientists as much in Transformers.
Yeah, like, I'm fairly certain with how good of a scientist she's been that if she was on the Maximal side since the beginning, they would have had a huge advantage.
Yeah, I assume that was, like, always, like, her designation for this.
Yeah.
For, like, the mission, because, like, it makes sense. Like, it was on a science mission. Obviously, they would bring scientists.
I really would have loved to have seen, like, what these two were, or her and Silverbolt were like before the Beast Wars.
Someone write that fanfiction, or point that fanfiction out for us.
Like, seriously, I'll put it in our visual guide. Just send it to us. So, anyways, because Black Arachnia doesn't actually know what to look for, they stick Rat Trap in the sub because he's the only one small enough.
Which he protests greatly.
And he says...
We also get another really cartoony moment where Cheetor, imagine, he gets like a cartoon thought bubble, no less. Of... He imagines make a good cat toy, and he imagines a thought bubble in cat mode, like batting at a miniature version of the sub with Rat Trap inside.
It should be noted that for some reason he's in his original body.
Probably because it's much more rat-like.
Oh no, I meant Cheetor's in his original cat mode.
Okay, it looks more cat-like. I kind of missed that part.
It's probably because he was... Maybe that's still how he sees himself in his mind.
Maybe.
Yeah. There's no mirrors on the arc. That's what I'm gonna chalk it up to. Mm-hmm. So Silverbolt flies Rattrap over the wreckage. And I didn't realize this at this point in my notes, but we got the good Scots back together.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we do.
Yeah. So he flies him over the wreckage and then splashes down. He panics for a minute.
You're skipping ahead of it. We also get another chance of Rattrap trying to push the sensor, where as they're getting there, Silverbolt asks Rattrap how he's doing. He's like, I'm hot, I'm cramped, I'm airsick, and next time the Big Ape asks me to do something for him, man, I'm going to shove my blaster so far up his, and then he gets cut off by Silverbolt.
Yeah, because they're over the wreckage, and he disengages the locking mechanism. He's flying him over the lake with... sort of a rope that's holding onto the sub. He panics for a second before he gets everything turned on, and music starts playing, which I assumed was just the score of the scene, until we cut to Silverbolt standing on the shore with his radio, and this music is coming over it.
Yeah, my exact notes are, the hand crank works and we get some jaunty music. Next bullet point, it's diegetic? Question mark?
Yeah, Silverbolt even raises an eyebrow to it, which I can only assume that Black Arachne thought that she'd get bored down there and put in a radio.
Yeah. We also get another good bit of a pushing the sense conversation, where Roger says, like, looks like that friend of yours finally did something right. Yes, my beloved has many skills.
I didn't pick up on that, but sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Rattrap finds the ship and starts to look around, but then we see that there's actually a Predacon spy drone watching Silverbolt.
Yeah. I will say, like, the underwater, like, it is a cool effect from going through, like, the hallways of the Aqualon, so you get, like, very familiar sets that we've seen for, like, two seasons, and now they're all, like, dark, there's fish going around, and they do the thing where, like, you're going underwater and there's, like, debris floating in the water to kind of better illustrate that you are, in fact, underwater and just, like, floating through air.
Mm.
Like, again, like, this is obviously this water technology, like, rendering water in CGB way surpassed by this later, but it's a cool effect for what it is.
Yeah. And as he's looking for the Sentinel module, I realized something. How is he maneuvering? Because
There's rudders at the base of it.
There's rudders, but you didn't see any controls for it on the inside, and you kind of need both hands to run the motor.
It's probably, I'm gonna assume, foot pedals.
Sure, that makes sense. Huh? Yeah. All right. So he finds the module, and then some Jaws music starts playing. At this point, because we said in the next episode preview last week that Rampage is in this episode, I thought he was gonna pop out. No,
we do get a jump scare where a Moray looking type deal pops out of the console on Rat Trap.
Yeah, which I love his reaction because he kind of jumps, it jumps and screams, and he says nothing scary happening, no reason to panic.
Yeah,
which is
another note, just like continuity and layout stuff. He is in the same chamber from A Better Mousetrap, so they. Okay, so nice bit of like a visual continuity with the show.
Sure. Speaking of visual continuity, something that isn't actually good continuity. The Sentinel module actually now has a handle on it, so that you know all the characters can grab onto it throughout the episode.
Maybe they installed it later.
Yeah, they installed it now. Anyways, so after he says there's no reason to panic, he sees something on the radar and starts to back out. Which is when Rampage actually catches him in his claw.
It's how droll, rat in a can. And starts squeezing it.
Yeah, he starts using his vice grip on it. He caught that joke. Congratulations.
I did.
If you didn't, figure it out. Anyways.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. He actually punches a hole in the ship, and water starts leaking in really fast. It's when Depth Charge swoops in and saves him. Mm-hmm. Something actually I noted: Depth Charge is oddly considerate of his fellow Maximals, considering he actually doesn't like them. He tells Rat Trap to get out of there since he and Rampage are going to be causing a lot of damage in the fight, probably. And you know, he only seems to care about killing Rampage, but he doesn't want anyone getting caught in the crossfire. Which I thought is nice continuity for him being a former security officer. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the episode where he kind of comes around by the end.
Yeah, this is where Batman decides to join in on the Justice League.
Yeah. Ratchet tells him, no can do, I have a mission to do. Just keep Rampage off me for a little bit and I'll get out of here.
Yeah, deal, but make it quick.
Yeah, we also do have one quick cut back to the Predacon base, where Megatron's spying and decides to send troops to look. And I bring it up mainly because he cuts to a camera of where the Bug Squad is playing cards, presumably space poker or something. Inferno, when turns and salutes, he's still holding his cards in his hand, even though the other ones like tried hiding their cards as soon as Megatron chimed in.
Yeah, actually, that's a good name for them. I just realized they're all bugs.
Yeah, I know they're not. I know some of the most. I know like Quickstrike is technically arachnid. It doesn't matter for the purposes of this show.
He's still a bug. He's just not an insect.
I mean, no, because a bug is a very thing.
All right, if you say so. I think of spiders as bugs, just not insects. But yeah.
Bug has a technical definite, but we're not going there.
I did not know it had a
technical definite. Spider-Man would object to being called a bug.
Fine. when cut back to the fight between Rampage and Silver and Depth Charge, this is the last time you'll interfere with my fun. Big talk for a crab cake. And
also, you find out Rampage can shoot missiles out of his butt. Since I did not realize this, where I guess I don't know if this is true of the toy, but at least in vehicle mode, in the crab mode, it's pointing back. So at one point, he, instead of turning to tank mode, I guess presumably because that would float underwater, I don't know, but he like turns around and like fires missile out as a Depth Charge fires some of his missiles, which the explosions cause the like dislodge the wreckage of the Axlom. Just as Rat Trap gets out of there, and the ruins of which remain, like falls down on them as they're fighting.
Yeah, I assume we never noticed because he's always been in tank mode when he's launching a missile before.
Hmm.
Yeah, so he manages to grab Sentinel and hightails it out of there. And as he surfaces, Silverbolt, like, asks him what's going on, says that those two were fighting down there and almost killed me. And starts to fly him out of there, and he has a nice line, like, this load is rather heavy. And then Waspinator swoops in, like, Waspinator help?
Mm-hmm.
he shoots them both out of the sky, and I don't know why, but Silverbolt transforms into robot mode. He doesn't actually fly at all, though. Crashes right into the ground, and Rat Trap pinballs around some rocks, complete with sound effects.
Yeah, pinball sound effects and tilt eyes, and like the most cartoony gag.
Yes, very much. It will still turn into a Wile E. Coyote cartoon in a couple minutes.
Yeah, I think when like Silver lands, there's like feathers flop too.
Yeah, they do. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
So Waspinator takes the module back to base, and Quickstrike sticks around to deal with Silverbolt. I guess he's got a vendetta against him, which kind of makes sense for a lot of reasons. One, they're both they're kind of the opposite of each other when they came about. Also, he probably is a little sore about Black Arachnia choosing Silverbolt.
Yeah, Quickstrike definitely seems like the sort of bot who would hold grudges.
Oh yeah, he even says like I'll tell Sugarbot for you or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so Death Shard manages to kind of knock out Rampage and says,
Well, before that, it sets up is Rampage pushes him out from the rubble, and apparently the only time in the series he actually uses a command phrase. He actually says, Rampage terrorize.
Oh,
goes over to another part of the wreckage where he sees, like, Death Shard's tail, so it's like, it's like, see you fallen. And that's when Depth Charge gets the drop on him because he just detached his tail and stuck it under there, and he wasn't actually trapped.
Yeah.
And so this is where you're coming up to this, I think, the scene you're talking about where he, like, giant swings Rampage up out of the water. He lands on top of Quickstrike.
Yeah. So Silverbolt uses this opportunity to, you know, wake up and get out of there. Depth Charge walks out of the water. Really cool scene.
Yeah, I think that's in the opening credits.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So he tries to get Depth Chart to help him out, but and go after Waspinator, but Depth Chart only cares about killing Rampage, so they go off on their own.
I wish I wrote down some of the lines, because this was like, if you had respect for the Maximal name, you wouldn't do this. Like, and then I think it's like, how dare you use that word now? When something like, I wish I wrote that one down, but I was like listening over speakers, so I didn't get quite as much of the dialogue as I usually did. But, like, they're nearly coming to blows before Rat Trap breaks him up and says, like, it's not worth it. And they head off to chase after Waspinator. To which Depth Charge, like, pulls out an Energon scalpel. Remember that. That's going to be important later in this series.
Yep.
But turns around and, again, Rampage uses his horror movie monster powers to have disappeared in the moment, a brief moment he took his eyes off him.
Yep. Complete with, like, maniacal laughing in the background.
Yes, and of course he left Quickstrike behind because he didn't care about Quickstrike, yeah, as per usual.
Yeah. So the good Scots catch up to the bad Scott and shoot him. So Scott McNeil just shot himself in the back again.
Oh, you can't go over like.
Don't they go straight?
Waspinator's having so many good. Hmm? No. Waspinator has. But you miss Waspinator's line.
Yeah. Okay, so I wrote some down. Hold on. He's having a good day.
You know this because he says, Waspinator having good day, not get shot once. To which he gets shot, immediately gets shot.
Yeah, so Megatron will reward Waspinator for bringing back Module. Scott McNeil just shot himself in the back again.
Mm-hmm.
So they also do some midair gymnastics to catch the Sentinel module.
Yeah, they pulled in a completely unnecessary aerial maneuver where Rattrap is riding on Silverbolt. He jumps off, like flips off, dives down to catch it, and then Silverbolt catches him. Just like that's impressive. But why didn't you just have Silverbolt dive down to catch it,
or just have him do a dive bomb? You catch it in midair, then he pulls up.
Yeah. It's fancy, but he gets clotheslined by a tree for his trouble by Inferno.
You know, I realize that, like, the cartoony feel of this season probably put more work on the animators.
I can see that. I was also curious. I was actually looking back on the directors, like, did he do some of, like, the goofier episodes from, like, season one? But, like, no, he didn't actually start directing until season two, so... So, this is all new stuff.
Yeah. But I believe he was an animator on the show, so he probably had to deal with this, too.
That is fair.
Yeah. So, they catch it, and then they think they're home free. When Inferno tips a tree over, they fly right into it. At this point, it's just firmly a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Yeah. So, Bolt gets it, but, like, Inferno holds him up, tells him to give it, to which point he's like, oh, yeah, it's so heavy. He tosses it. Rattrap uses his tail like a fishing line to grab it, and then peels off in Vioka mode. They have a brief exchange, which I also wish they wrote down. But, like, I did write down Rattrap's... I believe Inferno says, like, die, burn, vermin. And Rattrap's like, well, yeah, shrivel up and die, ant. To which I put, like, not your best comeback, Rattrap.
Yeah. So, Deathcard hears the commotion going on and decided to go help. What did he say? Like, sounds like Prime Stooges are in over their head. Better go help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just they're able to evade Inferno, and they think they're home free again.
Yeah.
Jeff Charles flies right into them.
Yeah. Specifically, like Rat Trap's going. He goes onto a bridge, which Inferno blows out. Mm. Silverbolt catches him, and then they run smack it face first into Depth Charge. I think they fall straight down, and then the Sentinel does like the spinny thing, cartoon thing in the air, and like Inferno grabs it out of the air.
I honestly thought that Rattrap was going to make it across. Mm-hmm. This was season two, he would have.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, like, tried to make it across, and Silverbolt catches him in the halfway across. Anyways, mm-hmm. So, back at the arc, there's some blame going around about whose fault this is, but ultimately, Optimus shows Depth Charge, like, you realize you acting alone is the reason why we lost. We, like, none of us got what we wanted today. So Depth Charge says, all right, fine, I'll work with you guys.
Yeah, he also during the conversation, you know, if it was, like, Rattrap says, well, Rattrap's just tearing a new one, he says, like, I knew saving your hide was a mistake. So I was like, wait, he saved Rattrap? So I was like, oh, well, I guess he technically did do that.
Yeah.
Thanks. So I get giving the Prime the sign that, like, that Depth Charge, you know, he does still have that, you know, kind of like maximal camaraderie. And they even, did they shake hands or high five? Probably high five, because that's easier to do with this animation. I imagine that'd be very hard to animate them.
I think Optimus put his hand out for a handshake, but Depth Charge just high fives him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we come back to the dark side where, very ominously, Megatron is installing Sentinel.
Yes. In fact, he gets to say, like, Sentinel online, and we zooms out, and we get to see the familiar force shields, but this time going over the dark side.
Yeah, they probably had to tweak it a little bit, because Sentinel is ultimately an automated defense system. The defenses are already installed. And they probably had to change the friend or foe subroutine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just reverse it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the episode. Anything to... We kind of went over all the trivia.
Yeah.
Anything to say?
There was anything... Yeah, no, there was that. Oh, we did miss that Rattrap calls Depth Charge Captain Minnow from Gilligan's Isle, probably because we weren't born in the 70s. We're like watching TV in the 70s.
Yeah, do you remember when the episode that was?
I think it was when they were yelling in the arc at the end.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, so you did call him the ship from Gilligan's Island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the episode. There's no character spotlight this week.
Yeah, no new characters, so no character spotlight.
Yeah. We have one bid from messages from the Golden Disc. Jazz is now available in Forged to Fight. And from the bit of the storyline to get him, I played. They're finally changing it up a little bit because usually it's they come through the wormhole, it scrambles their brains, and then they have to fight him to knock some sense into him. Luckily, they decided not to do that this time around because I was getting bored of that, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
MVP. Admittedly, Jazz is not a Beast Wars character, but I like him, so it's okay.
Yeah. He's not a Beast Wars character, but that's really. We have a full set of. Oh, actually, Beast Wars characters. Cheetor's, like, they have three levels of a special attack. His max special is basically a Kamehameha. Like, he runs up to his opponent, kicks him in the face a couple times to get himself into the air, puts his hands together and launches a beam. Mm-hmm. That's a Kamehameha. So our MVPs, James, I started, so who is your MVP?
Let's see. I'm gonna go with Rat Trap. He gets a lot of stuff to do. He gets put in a bit of an uncomfortable, like, get into some uncomfortable situations, but he manages to pull through because he's a trooper.
Mm-hmm. Right. So mine is, I would kind of give it to Death Charge, but he kind of screwed everything over today, so I gotta give it to Rat Trap too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Zermy B's next episode preview, which I think is our shortest episode ever so far, right now.
but we didn't go on any many tangents this time, weirdly.
Yeah. There wasn't really much to talk about because it was so cartoony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good episode. It's just more, like, kind of breezy. I mean, like, I guess it's important for the overall plot since, like, Megatron gets, you know, Sentinel by the end. But it's, like, you know, not as crucial. You know, there's not much, like, time stream stuff and new characters getting introduced.
Yeah.
And we're, like, still away from, although, we're going to be getting a lot more. We'll probably have a lot more things to say with the next episode.
Oh, yeah. So, next episode preview. Next episode, Megatron launches a new type of offensive against the proto-human tribes, but it falls to Cheetor and Black Arachnia to defend them in Cutting Edge with Lewis.
Proto-humans are back, and which will probably be a problem later. But we still got a ways before that episode.
Yeah, and if you've been paying attention, because we're having Lewis on next week, you might figure out what the new offensive is.
Yep.
So, anything to say before we get to our closing?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
Okay.
I mean, I meant to actually plot some of my Transformers and see which Beast Wars ones I have in advance of this, but that'll probably happen next time.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I got a bunch actually over this previous week. I've got Depth Charge now. I have there's one I can't say because it's technically a spoiler for the show. I got Blood Trans Battle. Okay, another one that's also a spoiler, but it's one of the Black Arachnias.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Transmutate, like the one that's a repaint of RC. This thing is a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's got a lot of like very complicated transformation sequence, so it's honestly kind of hard to do anything with it. I'm probably gonna be leaving that one in the box.
Which boy that was? And you can keep talking about it.
Yeah, it's officially listed. I think.
Oh right.
Huh?
Oh right. Yeah, one of the prime ones. Yeah. She was pretty complicated, if I remember seriously correct.
Yeah. And like this thing, like, about the size of one of those Gatchamons. Or Gatchapons? Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, it could fit in one of those little bubbles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It looks cool in motorcycle mode, but really difficult to transform. I found the instructions online, and they're not a lot of help.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Depth Charge is gigantic, so much so that they had to incorporate a third leg to keep him balanced. He looks really cool in beast mode though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other two I'll talk about when we get to them in our character spotlights. So, I think I now have the full line of Maximals. Yeah, so that's cool. Okay, so I guess that's our closing. So, thank you for listening to the Axon Archives. If you have any questions, want to guest on the show, or just want to talk about Beast Wars, you can reach us on Twitter at Axon Archives, or by email at axonarchives@gmail.com. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Podknife, Podbean, Podchaser, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. Please leave a rating and a review because it helps people find the show. If you probably the main ones we're going to be able to check are Apple Podcasts and Podknife. So if you're if you don't listen to us through Apple Podcasts, best place to review us probably is Podknife. Check out our website at axelon.blessbrett.com. You can find either of us individually on Twitter. I'm at Dowfac.
I'm at Discord_Inc.
And until next time, the Beast Wars continue.
Beast or bot, we're still the baddest. Same here. I got sound.
Okay. Do do do. Cool. I think I watched Mission Impossible too much as a kid because every time I need to do a sound test, I go toast.
Something they said in that one?
Yeah, no. Like when they're about to sneak into that room, it had the sound alarm. Like they test their sound level. You test the sound level by going toast, toast.
And it's been a long time since I've seen that movie. Yeah. I did not remember that bit.
I had it on VHS, so I think I saw it a few. I was pretty young when I first saw that movie, so.
Fair.
Alright. I think I got good sound levels. So, one.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Welcome to Axon Archives, where we watch the. Where we watch every episode of the 90s CG cartoon Beast Wars, the highest rated Beast Wars podcast on Apple. I'm going to start that over.